Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Coast. The Prime Minister battling back from surgery to get on the air on the grid. Strong performance from Prime up in Canada, dealing with all those surgical knives cutting up his stomach. Can't have it, Carver High. I am surprised, to be honest with you, at how frankly stupid the Giants have been, if you ask me, about this Barkley deal. It's beyond me. They obviously are like every team in the NFL. Nobody wants to pay running backs, and they just don't want to give this guy any money. And now he won't sign the tag, and now he's not going to go to training camp. That's a done deal. You can forget about him going to training camp. And I think training camp's a waste of time anyway. I know people say that's insane, but all it is to me is a chance to get injured. I don't let any starter ever get on the field for 1 second in that stupid waste of time. I need guys to be healthy for 17 games. I don't have time for these meaningless, just absolutely backward-ass, stupid preseason games. I understand young guys getting a shot, getting cut, all this other stuff. I get it, but I'm not letting starters, I'm not letting any high-priced guy anywhere near that football field. Not one. I'll let any rookie or some free agent play that's never played or that never will play try to make the team. That's fine. I get that, but I'm not letting him. So him not showing up at camp means absolutely nothing because, you know, day one, he can rock star status when he runs the ball. He's the best player on their team, and they treat him like he doesn't matter. I think they're going to regret it.
Yeah, I don't expect him to show up on time to camp or who knows how long into camp. I don't think that he'll miss games. I don't think that it'll get that far, and that goes for Jacobs, too. With the Raiders, I don't think that he'll miss games either. I think he'll also take himself a couple of extra weeks and not show up to camp on time. This is just, this is how it goes now.
These teams, they don't win.
These teams don't win. They don't win. No,
he's good. Like if you evaluate both of them, you know who's more important, right? I think Jacob's a good back,
right?
But they don't win, so. You can talk all you want about Jacobs. They don't win, so it doesn't even matter to me if he shows up for camp or if he shows up for games. It doesn't matter if they have him or they don't. This guy Barkley, he's the whole team.
But this is the evolution of what these teams want to do with running backs now, which is they're not paying them huge amounts of money long term. Unless you're somebody like Derrick Henry, they're not going to give you all that big guaranteed beyond 2 years, 3 years, 4 years type of deals because they just track records there now.
Why does he get the ball 75% of the time, running or catching it out of backfield? I mean, their whole offense is through him.
I don't disagree with that. They will say that if he's not there, they will work somebody in who makes 30% of what he was going to make, and they'll get maybe not exact production, but almost close to production.
Here's what's going to happen with that theory. They're going to start someone else, and their season just ended. Okay? So without him, they will not even sniff a wild card because they're not winning the division. So without Barkley, bye-bye. And, you know, you guys talk the media in New York all day, and I love Dable. Mafia and I know him. We met him. He's cool. I hung out with him. I love the guy. But that I don't care if Jesus Christ coached the team. It doesn't matter. If you aren't going to play your best players, because you don't want to pay him, and suddenly Mara and Tish have gone cheap, I'm telling you, they're going to come back to bite you in the ass. It's like a bumblebee sting. Enjoy. Enjoy it. You're going to get burned.
They want to rent instead of buying. I saw somebody put it that way. Running backs now, big money running backs, they're going to rent them instead of buy them. They're not going to, you know, completely buy them for long term. They're going to pay him $10 million this year, and they're going to hope that he shows up by the first game, which I think he will. And they're going to move it along like that. And then they'll get rid of him when they don't think he's got it anymore. That's kind of how it's going to go. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Coast to Coast on a Monday, Sirius XM 159 Sports Byline.
They should have never given Jones all that
Pollard.
Money.
Right. Pollard is the other guy. So three running backs really today. But Pollard's coming off the injury. There's really no speculation of Pollard not accepting that $10 million tag from the Cowboys. So three running backs were on that list today. With the deadline going by at 4 p.m. East. One player did sign long-term before the deadline. That was Evan Engram, tight end with the Jaguars. 3 years, $41 million he gets. He was a big part of what they did towards the end of last year. So
He sucked in New York.
A lot of touchdowns. He sucked in New York. Had a lot of tutties for the Jags. And the Hopkins stuff is over. He goes to Tennessee. Two-year deal with the Titans. Going to get more money than he would have got anywhere else. But I don't think he's going to win any game. I don't think he's going to win the big prize that he was probably looking for at the end of the year. But he's going to get his money, Scotty, so he's got that going for him.
Well, I think they went from being a non-factor completely with the fact that when they lost Brown, they never never replaced him. And this guy is, I still think, a great receiver. And I think with their pass rush, with their defensive front, with their linebackers, they have a squad. And people think King Henry still can't play. You must be tripping. I think their problem is that crappy quarterback of theirs who I just don't buy. I'd rather see what the young kid can do. But now that they have Hopkins, I think they can be.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High turns everybody on to BetMGM's first bet offer. Even on the Iron Horse, when he's on the train, he's just constantly showing people the first bet offer. You get the app, the BetMGM app, make a deposit, make your first bet, and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if it loses. Get back what you bet, up to $1,000. So if you bet a nickel, 500, you get back 500. You bet somebody. You bet $1,000, you get $1,000 back. If it loses, you're getting your $1,000 back. It's like free betting. It's beautiful. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once the wager is settled. Check it out at BetMGM.com.
There you go. And there's plenty of things you can get involved with, whether it's maybe some NFL stuff for the future or the Open Championship this week, which we will discuss momentarily. Other NFL stuff for you. Tyreek Hill on his podcast said that this year he's going for 2,000 yards and a Super Bowl win. So two very lofty goals for Tyreek Hill this coming season. 2,000 yards. Maybe. I don't know about the Super Bowl part, but maybe on the 2,000. You never know.
Well, I think, believe it or not, that they're going to be better than the Jets. Everybody's got the Jets going to the Super Bowl, and you just absolutely have to be on acid. Okay? So I think the Dolphins are loaded at every position. I mean, literally. And if that guy, Tua Tagovailoa, can stay on the football field and not have multiple concussions, which I have my reservations, but if he's healthy, he is very effective. And they have massive speed and talent at the wideouts, without a doubt. They got a defense that's sickening. They got a back end that's sickening. They got Ramsey now. They already had Howard. I mean, they are very dangerous. And no one can stop this guy. He'll do whatever he wants. I don't know about the Super Bowl, but I think they have a better chance to give the Bills a run for the money than the Jets do with all of their, you know, it's a hype thing with the Jets. Not only is it overblown, they're putting them on for, you know, this Hard Knocks show, which is ridiculous. They don't even want him there. I'm not sure any team wants him there. It is what it is. But that, to me, is a pain in the ass. That's what that is. And the Dolphins aren't going to have a pain in the ass. The Bills' only pain in the ass they have is their wide receiver. They got a pain in the ass wide receiver. But other than that, they got a loaded team. So, to me, it's the Bills and the Dolphins, not the Jets.
I agree with you on that. And Jet Camp actually opens in 2 days. The teams that play in that Hall of Fame game start showing up to camp this week, Scotty. So you're getting very close to football being back in a real traditional way. Yep, Jets, Cleveland in the Hall of Fame game. So the Jets and Cleveland will both report to camp in a couple of days, and they'll get their camps underway.
It's like a home game for the Browns.
In Canton, yes. And I saw, of course, Joe Thomas is going in. One of the reasons why the Browns are in the game. He's going to go last that night. Although that takes about 9.5 hours to get through all those speeches with all the guys going into the Hall of Fame. So set the DVR if you're a Browns fan. You got
Let me just say, preseason football is worse than having to go to summer school.
Awful. Awful. There is nothing worse. And people get all jazzed up. Football's back. We got preseason football. You watch one quarter of a preseason game, and all you're doing is turning yourself right back around and going, all right, when does the real thing start? I'm not watching any more of this. You got to be kidding me. They play 4 weeks of preseason, or 3 weeks, whatever it is now, of preseason games, and it is absolutely
Here's me yesterday. I'm watching the Yankees, right? And then I'm like, and then I clicked and I watched. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. The Bill Walton three-part series. It was so much better than watching the Yankees lose. I'll watch anything better than preseason football. Anything.
The real goal is, like we said, is August the 26th. That's Notre Dame Navy. That's the first real football game of this football season, college and pro, is that game on Saturday, the 26th of August. Over,
you know, for once they need to spank their ass and not, you know, I'm about done with these close games with Navy. I mean, honestly, can the Irish just finally whip up on the middies in this game? Is it in Ireland? For Christ's sakes, like, you know, win the game, big, honestly. You struggle with Navy, it's embarrassing.
You actually get a lot of games that Saturday, the 26th. I know you're excited for Hawaii and Vanderbilt, San Jose State and USC, FIU and La Tech. You got a good slate on Saturday, August the 26th. The
first FIU and Louisiana Tech. I know high school games that are La better. Tech.
Well, look, La Tech laying 10. It's a 9 o'clock East kickoff. Could be involved that Saturday night. I'll be watching that over some dopey NFL preseason game. I know that.
I'll watch college football every time over NFL preseason.
No doubt. Bengals and Joe Mixon agreed to a WeWork deal. Basically, Joe Mixon had to take a pay cut to stay with the Bengals. He was going to make like just about $10 million this year. They were going to cut him, so they had to figure it out. Now he's making 4.5. So, and this year and next year. So he's going to make 4.5 this year and 4.5 next year, and it's guaranteed, and he stays with the Bengals. He didn't want to leave Cincinnati. He didn't want to be cut. So, that's.
Here's the deal. You want to play football.
Took the swipe.
Here's the deal. You want to play football. It's real simple. Be a offensive tackle or a edge rusher, a wide receiver, or a quarterback, or you'll never make any money.
Let me give you just one of these, and I'll save the rest. Let me give you the AFC South for these divisions, just because of the Hopkins stuff. Now, I'm going to show you this, because I know it's changed with the Hopkins news. The other day, they had the Titans at, I believe, plus 350 or 360, if we throw that up right now. The AFC South odds, there it is. That's now down, Scotty, to about 3-1. So a little bit off of that now with DeAndre Hopkins going to Tennessee. And I think the Jaguars dropped to minus 155, minus 150. So a little bit of movement on that with that move with Hopkins.
Well, I think that guaranteeing, like Adam Kaplan has done, that the Jaguars are going to run away with the South, and it's so automatic. Done deal. They're already in the playoffs. I like Tennessee's chances in the division to go down to the final 2 weeks against Jacksonville. I will bet my life it'll be a race to the finish It's not going to be a runaway blowout. You know what the Jaguars do, don't you? Like, they had a great year, I won't deny it, but they F things up like no other. I mean, they will F this up if it's the last thing that happens. I'm certain of it. There's no way that they're just going to roll on everyone and win every single game. There's no way it's going to happen. It's not. This is the NFL. It's payday. They're going to learn the hard way. It doesn't, just because you had a good season doesn't mean your next season is going to be good at all.
I agree with you. And they had a great year, and they only won 9 games. They won 9 games.
Great year and won 9 games. Well, what is that? Steelers won 9 games, and they had a crappy year.
People thinking that the Jaguars are going to go 14-3 this year and be like the top seed in the AFC. I don't think that that's where we want to go.
You're smoking spice.
I'll give you other division odds tomorrow. I got to give you Bell. I don't think I got time for the Le'Veon Bell apology to the Steeler fans. So we will do that after you talk to Adam Kaplan. I will start the final big segment with Le'Veon Bell apologizing to the Steeler fans. I've also got, of course, some Rory McIlroy for you later on, talking about winning the Scottish Open. We have some Djokovic after losing to Alcaraz from Wimbledon. And the final Summer League game is tonight. Houston and the Cavs. Monty Bates going to go off tonight for the Cavs and then win them a Summer League title tonight.
I don't know. I like the Rockets.
Oh, you're on the Rockets tonight.
The Rockets, they're tough.
All right.
Jabari Smith.
There you go. So we'll do all.
I think they can beat them. Cleveland should have lost yesterday. They got lucky. They won. They pushed.
The Nets
had them by the throat. They went to overtime and lost.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Adam Kaplan is our NFL insider. He's on the verge of his annual pilgrimage to Mecca. He's going to the NFL training camps any day now. He starts on his long journey with his bottle of 70 sunblock, and he goes to all the camps. First thing first, I want to talk about, I know the tag and what happened today, but let me just ask you this question out of the jump that I was just asking you. What are the top two or three guys that got drafted this year in the NFL, what are they going to make in their first contracts, per year?
Okay, just so you know, like, your guy Pickett last year made $3.5 million. He's making $3.5 million, just $3.5 million. And per season, it was a four-year deal. Now, again, he wasn't a top five pick, so he's not going to get $10 to $12 million. When I first started covering the league, these deals were enormous for the first pick overall. In fact, Sam Bradford's guarantee at signing was $50 million. $50 million was fully guaranteed signing. The veteran players had enough of that. They got that change in that future CBA. You remember years ago, the veteran players in the NBA were complaining, why are these rookies making more than we are? Well, that's what they got voted out. And I know that you were talking about the first pick overall in hockey and what kind of deal he got. In fact, that deal, Pharrell, you were talking about, what was the average per season?
Four. It's about four. But it's a cap hit of under $1 million.
I got to believe, now you know hockey better than I do. Was it an issue where the players are complaining that the deals were too high for the rookies? Because that is really low. $4 million a year for the first pick overall in professional sports.
Yeah, it really is amazing to me that a generational franchise changing, like this guy, they're comparing him to Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, and that he's that good, Sid Crosby, the whole deal, and he's going to make, with incentives, $4 million. He's not even going to make $4 million. That's if he does a bunch of things. Now, this kid is so special, he might very well hit all those incentives and make $4 million. But it's only a 950 cap hit against for the Blackhawks against the cap. So let's get into the tag news from today. I've already argued ad nauseum on this show that I think the Giants are going to rue the day they messed with this guy. Because I said that literally 75% of their offense goes through his hands, whether it's running the ball or catching it. I think Dable, Shane are in for a, they're going to learn the hard way that they, that anyone can play running back. Okay. Anyone can play running back. You're just not going to win.
Well, he's on a 1-year franchise tender, but one thing I before we get started on this. So you asked about what's the first overall player get. Trevon Walker, the first pick overall last year for the Jaguars, got $9.3 million per season on his 4-year deal, just to give you some context.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, and then that's why I wanted to mention that, because a hockey guy getting only $4 million per season, first picker overall, well, there you see the difference in the sport. So let's get over to Saquon Barkley. You're absolutely right. In fact, it's in my notes when we talk about the NFC East. The offense goes through the run game because Daniel Jones is a quarterback who needs a running game. There's no question about that. Talking to people, who've watched the Giants tape over the years, they know Daniel Jones needs a run game. Some quarterbacks could live without it. He cannot. Now, Barkley, and we know what's going to happen here. He'll threaten to not sign it until a certain point. Now, you never worry about him being in physical shape. He's in great physical shape, but it's getting the timing down and all that. And because it's not an NFL training camp, when you're going through an NFL workout, you do worry about what kind of conditioning they're going to have. But with these guys, and this is the thing that I know, for I'll cover this business over 20 years, guys don't miss paychecks. You're talking about just under $600,000 per game over 17 games that these guys are going to make, all three franchise tag running backs. They can withhold services that you cannot fine them for not signing. They can wait as long as they want, but there's a certain point in the season around week 10. If they don't sign that tenor, they can't play. Now, one guy did it, and ironically, he just admitted recently, Le'Veon Bell did that. Was a major mistake not re-signing with the Bells. Yes, that ruined his career. Now, he decided not to play for a season, but these guys huff and puff, and they wind up coming in. Nobody's going to miss $600,000 per game. Now, they can wait. They can wait and make it a little bit, get the coaches antsy, which is what you're talking about. You don't want that, but the coaches in front office, they have very little to say. It's up to the player to sign when they want to sign.
Can you explain to me why, in their right mind, that they were so quick to give Jones all that money, and then they refused to give the best player on the team the money? Now, I understand he's going to play for $10 million. At one point or another, he's going to play. So is Jacobs. Yep. So is Pollard. I understand that. I'm with you. But you're not going to training camp. And you know what? I wouldn't go to training camp either, because it's a waste of time. Now, you can say whatever you want, but the reality is this. I've said it a million times. You go to training camp, you get injured. If you are on an NFL team and I'm running it, you're not touching the field the entire training camp if you're a high-priced player that I'm paying all that money to. I'll send out these rookies and first, second-year guys. I'll send them out to the bleeding war room. They're going to go out there and get their heads taken off and have their knees blown out. That's fine with me. But I'm not letting my high-priced guys near the football field. And preseason football is as bad as tennis. I'm not watching it. You can have it all day. But they gave Jones all that money, and they wouldn't give their best player the money. They got it backwards.
Scott, here's the deal, okay?
I'm not wrong.
You pay your quarterbacks first. You could say
not
all
when
you
he
want.
Sucks. Not yeah, when he sucks. Not when he sucks.
By the way, he improved last season. But I remember you and I had this argument.
Because of Barkley. Year.
You could say what you want about Daniel Jones. Yes, he's not an elite quarterback. He's somewhere in the upper half. But you could win with him. They made the playoffs with this guy. Let's not forget. Now, they got blown out in Philly. We know what happened with the Giants there. But the bottom line is, it starts with Barkley. That's where you and I will agree. There's no question
That's
about it. Saquon Barkley is special. He's been a great star. He tore his ACL, remember, 3 years ago. It came back really, really well. Yeah, and he's a team leader. But, again,
is
it starts with quarterback.
Is his
teams
name?
Are going to pay
quarterbacks
for
pay him.
No, it's that they're willing to pay him, but it's how much fully guaranteed money it's signing for. They were not going to give him a 2-year structure. They were not going to do that. They're going to pay him highly year one, give him a decent number in year two, but they were not going to guarantee that much money. That's just not going to happen on running back. Christian McCaffrey, by the way, his deal that he signed a couple years ago, $16.5 million, was an outlier. Nobody's getting close to that. No one's coming close to that deal. That's just the way it is.
When the season's over is when they can negotiate the next time, because they've already blown the window. The window's closed.
Yep.
So
yep.
At the end of the year, what is because you have to tell me, what is Barkley's status at the end of the year? Does it enable him to leave, or is he still under their guise of another tag and they still own his ass?
The latter is the truth. They can tag him if they want, if he has a good year and he stays injury-free, relatively injury-free. They could tag him again, absolutely. They would in that case if they can't get a long-term deal. Now, once the regular season over, they're eligible to get signed, literally right after it. But it's rare. Teams usually wait till closer to February and then March when free agency starts. And the tags, by the way, are due a couple weeks before free agency starts. So, look, this is a team, Pharrell, that shocked us, okay? I told people they'd be better than you think. I don't think they make the playoffs. But the reality is, you're absolutely right on one thing, Aaron, and no one could argue against this. It starts with Barkley in the run game to help Daniel Jones out. You nailed that one.
Well, and I just, it blows my mind that they know that, and yet they still didn't do him up. And they gave everybody else money. I mean, they did everything. They dealt for Waller. They gave him money. Waller's played, literally, I played more games in the NFL than him. I played more. I started last week, and I had a great game. That guy, he never plays. And they went out and got him as if he's some kind of savior. And I got to tell you, Daniel Jones, let's just be real. The reason why they made the playoffs was he stopped fumbling the ball. And because he ran the ball so well. No one ever talked about how great he threw the ball because he never throws the ball great. He didn't throw picks. He didn't fumble. And he ran the ball on third downs and broke out and had 20-yard runs the whole season. And they won because the game they won against Tennessee in overtime in week one started them on a path to the playoffs.
That was amazing.
Because of Barkley. And they gave all this money to everybody else. But the guy that deserved the money, they screwed over. I blame Mara. I blame Tish. I blame Shane. And they will rue the day. Now tell me what their questions are. The question is, will Waller play any games? And what will Daniel Jones do without his star running back?
I know. And look, he's good. But again, he's going to be there. No, but I want to touch on that. Right now, it's Matt Breida, who's a third down back, and Eric Gray, who's a fifth rounder out of Oklahoma. I know they're really excited about, but these guys aren't Barkley. Exactly. So they don't have that guy. Now, their issues are no longer the offensive line. They've got a bunch of guys back. Oh, the right tackle is a little bit questionable with Evan Neal, who did not have a good rookie season. But by the way, Andrew Thomas, their star left tackle, had a very bad rookie season. He was tremendous after that. One of the best left tackles in the league, quite frankly. He's almost elite right now. By the way, he's eligible to get his contract extended. Their offensive line, they've gotten healthier. They had a bunch of guys with the injuries last season, so they're back. They're deeper at wide receiver. But the thing with the Giants is it's how they protect him. They're feeling good about that. And you mentioned contracts done. They got Dexter Lawrence, their star defensive tackle, signed to an extension. Now, they're a little bit weak in the secondary. That's why they drafted Deontay Banks, a first rounder out of Maryland at corner. They've got better depth at cornerback. This is a good team that's really well coached. But how they go is how Barkley supports their run game. You and I would agree with that. And how Daniel Jones would improve it. I could tell you with Darren Waller, you know, you and I talked about this last week. It's never a great sign when a team wants to move a guy 6 months after the Raiders did, after extending his contract. Darren Waller, by the way, turns 31 in September. He's a guy I'll be watching next week when I go to Giants camp.
Well, I wish we had more time, but I've decided that the Eagles have no weaknesses, and really Dallas is overhyped to begin with, and Washington sucks. So I think it was a great segment today talking about the guys that didn't get their deals and what's going to happen to the G-men. Great stuff, Adam. We'll see you later in the week. Buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, the reason I sent you the Le'Veon Bell clip, Carver High, is a lesson to be learned. This guy decided he wasn't going to play football for the Steelers because of the tag. And he sat out of here, and the guy's career was over. It was over. He never played again and mattered, ever, not once. He never did one thing. I don't even think he scored another touchdown in his career. He was such a great player with Pittsburgh, and he screwed it up. I hope Barkley doesn't. I don't care about Jacobs and Pollard. I like Saquon Barkley. I like watching him play football. I think he's a stud. You got the clip of Le'Veon Bell basically apologizing to Pittsburgh today. It only took him 6 years, but I think it's important to play.
It did. Of course, he sat out that year with the Steelers, did get a lot of money from the Jets, but never the same again. He's sorry to fans like you, Scotty, the Steeler fans.
I never apologized to the fans for really sitting out or leaving the Steelers. I never apologized. So I'm going to say I apologize for leaving the best damn fans there is in this damn world. I shouldn't have left. I apologize. I should never have left. I apologize. That's my fault. That's on me.
My man. I like that. I think that takes some stones that he admits he screwed up. He got all that money and never mattered again. He doesn't matter now. He's like boxing or something. It's a pathetic end to a great career. That guy was a badass.
And look, I think not only is it maybe something to look at with Barkley and these other guys, but we did that story with Mixon as well. Mixon don't want to be cut, and it's I know it's different, cut and holding out. He don't want to leave Cincinnati. He's been there his whole career. They're good. The fans love him. You know, he don't want to leave. So you know what? He obviously has come to the realization, I think I can live off of $5 million instead of 10. And I'm going to stay in Cincinnati where I'm loved and I like being. So I think that there's, you know, there's a bunch of different ways that you can look at it there.
I think the market is 10 mil. Obviously, that's what the tag is. I think, you know, the 16 that Adam was talking about with McCaffrey. First of all, I think McCaffrey's a great player, but I don't think he's worth the money because he's always injured. Okay? And I don't care what anybody says. He's injured a lot. So I think the market is 10, and when you're getting paid 4 even in the NFL to be a running back nowadays, you're lucky. Anywhere between 5 and 10 is all you're going to get. It's that simple. The market has been set, and it will not budge. And all three of those players are going to lose, and if they don't play, they're going to learn the hard way. All they have to do is watch Le'Veon Bell, what he did, and they will rue the day that they decided not to just sign the tag and play. What they should do is play, and then when they get their chance, leave. Get even with them later.
That's it.
Sit out. Yeah. Play under the tag, and when you're a free agent, leave. There you go.
That's it. I think that that's what some of the teams want them to do. I think they want them to do that, and then they don't have to pay them the big money on the back end. There you go with your NFL. We'll, of course, have more tomorrow. This is the final week. Final major of the year in golf is this week, Scotty. Of course, our favorite, the Open Championship across the pond this year. Royal Liverpool is where they will be. First time there since 2014, of course, when Rory won. Speaking of Rory, he won the Scottish Open yesterday, the tune-up for the Open Championship. Huge birdies on 17 and 18. I still have no idea how he uncorked that 2-iron on 18 to put himself right on the stick and get that birdie to beat out our boy Bobby Mack at the end, who we had a big ticket on. Here is Rory hoping that all that good play this weekend in Scotland will roll right into the Open Championship.
Obviously on the eve of the Open Championship, and you know, you're thinking about trying to prepare for that, but then, you know, you think about the weight that this tournament carries, being co-sanctioned for, you know, Race to Dubai, FedEx Cup, all the stuff at the end of the year as well. So I feel like I've sort of killed two birds with one stone this week, and, you know, got given myself, you know, an even bigger lead in the Race to Dubai, got myself up there in the FedEx Cup. Obviously a huge confidence boost going into the Open next week. You know, I've had my chances over the last couple of months, and I've been knocking on the door, just haven't quite been able to get it done. So, you know, hopefully this breaks the seal, and you know, we can go on from here.
So, you know, Alcatraz won the Queen's Club, only guy to ever win it and go win Wimbledon. Maybe you win the Scottish, go win the Open Championship. He's still looking for number 5. There's been 36 major winners since he last won a major, but he wins. He's won 15 tournaments in that window of not winning a major. He's won 15 tournaments, and a couple of them were the FedEx 15 mil in Eastlake. So he's gotten filthy rich golfing, but he hasn't won since he won his 4th. And remember, he won his 3rd and 4th back-to-back 4 weeks after he won the 3rd. Won the 4th and then never won again. Mm-hmm. I'm betting money on him this week. You win the Scottish. You win in that wind, on that links, in those types of brutal golfing conditions always. I don't care if it's sunny. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's windy. I don't care if it's cold. It's automatic. Something's going to happen because it's the way it should be played. Golf on links courses is better in majors than the crap we watch in America. You can laugh at me all you want. All these golf courses are too easy for these guys until they go play these monsters. You go play these monsters, we find out who the bad boys really are. And I'm telling you, I know you got way better picks than me, but I'm on Nat Hatton, I'm on Tom Kim, I'm on Scheffler, I'm on Morikawa, and believe it or not, Billy Horschel. There's a lot of guys that spin it, that can play links courses, and he's definitely on fire right now, so he's worth betting on.
Look, and you're going to get what you want this. You're going to get what you want this week. That's for sure. I mean, these are early in the week weather reports, but the wind will be a factor all 4 days. There is going to be winds in the 15 to 20 mile an hour plus all 4 days of this tournament. Looks like the heaviest rain could be Friday and early on Saturday. So you're going to get some of that as well. You're going to get open style conditions, what we like this coming week at Royal Liverpool. Rory is the favorite at 7-1. Scheffler actually has gone down since we made that board this morning, Scotty. He's now plus 750 with Rahm, and then Cam Smith, who gave back the claret jug this morning, says he hopes to have it back a week from now, back in his possession. So and look, Brooks has played well at all the majors this year. Maybe not as well at the U.S. as he did, obviously, at the Masters and the PGA where he won. Brooks Koepka's 20-1. It just seems long for me. I mean, he's been in the top 10 four of the last six times he's played the Open Championship. I don't think people correlate him with this tournament because all of his wins have been at the PGA and at the U.S. Open. But he's played well in these Open Championships before as well. 20's a big number for how he's played this year.
And I like Victor and Ricky. Ricky's had a great year. He finally broke through and won in Detroit. And I got to tell you, as you know, when they play over there, I go Euro City. It's Euro trip, Euro vacation. All the European players, I'll even give Fitzpatrick a nod, even though he's been playing terrible, because in my opinion, these are the golf courses that they all grew up on, that they know, and they play, in my view, way better than Americans. Now, I don't deny, like, growing up as a kid, the greatest thing I ever saw in my life was Tom Watson, who was my favorite golfer, win five of them. I mean, this guy owned the British Open like no other. So I know Americans can do it. I just prefer the Euros when they're playing on these links courses. And I got to tell you, it's just so magnificent. It blows the others out of the water. I don't care what anybody says. When you have to get up at 5 a.m. to watch golf in pouring rain and wind and watching these guys suffer, to me, it is ideal. It is the greatest golf known to man. I mean, I get it. I get it. Augusta's beautiful with the azaleas. I get it. The U.S. Open with the rough and the PGA, I think they screwed the PGA up when they moved it to May. I'm not into it. The British Open, the Open Championship, is the true test of who is the greatest golfer in the world for the year. That's it. This is it. I love the British Open. I love it. It's the greatest thing ever. Here's what it does to Wimbledon. It's like kicking it right in the...
Two things, just, and then we'll move on off of what you just said right there. Number one, I shopped Matthew Fitzpatrick at, I guess you could call the discount rack, early this morning at 50-1. I was able to get Matthew Fitzpatrick at this morning.
He's too good.
He's
going to
be on my cart. The price, and he even admitted today, he talked today at the Open, he was on the podium and said, I haven't played well at these. His best finish at an Open Championship is 20th. But he plays well on hard courses, and for that price, 50-1, I'm going to have Matthew Fitzpatrick on my card this week. And Ricky Fowler, when Rory won here in 14, Fowler finished right behind him. He played well at this course. That was obviously when Ricky was playing really well, had a top five at this course.
Yeah,
so
and this is where
Ricky
Rory
could be
won.
A guy with the way he's playing. And this is where Rory won as well. So there you go. We'll have an all week long Open Championship here on Coast to Coast.
Hey, listen,
Curry won the Dopey Celebrity
lead,
Tournament.
Yes. When he lost that lead at this college, I apologize. When he lost the lead on Sunday, I thought he was dead. I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
He, 17 and 18, that he birdied both of them with just brutally kick-ass irons to get close and then to nail the putts. And the putting in the Open is the most brutal putting on earth.
And those course, those two holes were playing difficult all day. For him to birdie both of them, tremendous job. Curry won the dopey celebrity thing. I don't got time for that. The Summer League Finals are tonight. The Cavs and the Rockets in Vegas for it all. They just announced Cam Whitmore was named the MVP of the Summer League. Of course, 20th overall pick for the Rockets out of Villanova. And they are getting 1.5, Scotty, tonight against the Cavs. Total's now 193.5, up a couple.
I got it at 3 this morning. I like the Rockets. I think Cam Whitmore won that because they shut Jabari Smith down. When Jabari Smith got shut down, it opened the door for him to play and get all the burn and have all the big games. I thought Whitmore played his ass off. I thought Cleveland struggled with the Nets. The game went to overtime. They had those dopey rules where the first 1-7, like the Elam ending, I didn't like it. But I, you know, it was a good game. I think, you know, did it take a toll on Cleveland, that comeback by the Nets and then overtime, that they got to play this Rocket team? I bet on the Rockets.
Everybody else finished up yesterday. Marcus Sasser had 40 for the Pistons. Orlando Robinson had 27 for the Heat. Last game, we shut down the Summer League coming tonight. I saw Joel Embiid doing some interview where he said he wants to win a championship, whether it's in Philly or somewhere else. First time we've heard him say that, that maybe he'd be willing to slip out the back door on the 76ers, Scotty. So maybe that's something to keep in mind. And everybody's got to go get new LeBron Laker jerseys. He's changing his number from 6 to 23. The Suns traded Cameron Payne to the Spurs, and they signed Bol Bol. So the Suns making moves right now.
Yeah, whatever. No one cares about Cameron Payne, and I can't keep up with all of LeBron's changes and later in life.
He's just changes.
He's going through all kinds of evolutions. I can't keep up with all of it.
Alcaraz won the Wimbledon over Djokovic. We talked about that. Tomorrow, I'll give you the numbers for the Women's World Cup starting on Thursday. Down under for the USA ladies.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all of finish time, I actually just heard a guy compare Connor Bedard. He said he's the LeBron James of hockey. Could we at least compare him to Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux or Sidney Crosby and not LeBron? Now LeBron's a hockey player. I'd love to see LeBron on skates. I really would. By the way, it was Bedard's 18th birthday today. Along with an $8 million fine, Tennessee will vacate all wins from 2019-2020. Alex Galchenyuk, he got popped. He got pulled over, DUI, the whole deal. Threatened to kill all the police. He said he was going to have people come to their homes and kill all their women and children. That's what he said to the cops. He must have been drinking the JMO. Three fingers, baby. 2003 Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Funny Side dead at 23. A woman caught with 5 snakes in her bra at a Chinese airport. Do you think anyone would notice that you're like entire top half is moving around a little bit. And what are those things sticking out of your sleeves? Giant snakes. The woman tried to sneak through TSA. I have seen it all. Detroit police commissioner caught in a car with a prostitute. It's always awesome when a cop gets busted with the hookers or someone famous. We've had a lot of that too. Famous people caught with prostitutes. I love that stuff. Worn out homicide suspect captured after escaping prison with bed sheets. The cops finally caught him. California woman dead after being run over by a lawnmower. She was like a homeless chick in a park. And one of the local, like, you know, they were, the town guy was mowing the park grass and he blew right over her and killed her. She was sleeping. I mean, honestly, like, can you imagine you're at the park and you see that and she comes flying out of the lawnmower in pieces? Honestly, it's just awful. Harvard researchers claim to have found an age-reversing chemical that may now become the fountain of youth pill. You're no longer going to get old, Mafia. It's unbelievable. At least your diarrhea went away. GTD is next. Go to PharrellandEvents.com for everything else. See you tomorrow.